Star Wars Action News presents Republic Forces Radio Network's Ewoks.
Ewoks, the Ewoks, magic Ewoks, living in the tall trees, living in the Star Wars.
As we anxiously await the final Clone Wars series bonus episodes, we will be looking back this summer as we watch and review all episodes of this classic Star Wars TV series.
Good evening and welcome to Republic Forces Radio Network. We regret to inform you that due to circumstances beyond our control, we will not be continuing with Season 2 because it sucks. No, really. We're here to begin Season 2 and we're going to be covering the first two episodes, The Crystal Cloak and The Wish Plant. And suffering with us tonight are Nathan.
Hey, everybody. This is what I meant by hazard pay.
Barrett.
Hey, everybody, it's Barrett, Master Collect-em-all from the forums, your Swan Holocron Enhancer, and I'm glad to be back to talk Season 2, and I think I'm going to have a better take on Season 2 than I think the rest of you, because it's going to be interesting. It's a lot different than Season 1, but I'm happy to be back to talk about it.
And Jerry.
Yeah, I mean, totally agree with you guys. I mean, it's almost like we've started a whole another retrospective series here with this Season 2. It's just, wow.
And we should probably note here, I guess, Jonathan referred to this as the first two episodes of Season 2, but it's a little bit strange because along with a lot of the retooling that we're really going to be talking about in this episode, one of the things they retooled was that in Season 2, not every episode was a regular episode length. What you basically got was you got a half an hour show, and without commercials, that's, 22 minutes or something like that. But instead of having week after week a 22-minute story, you would get some weeks where it was two little 11-minute stories crammed into that half an hour. But it wasn't every week. So sometimes it's two in an episode, sometimes it's one. It just kind of waffles back and forth, and we're trying to focus down really on getting 2 weeks' worth of what people saw on ABC in each of the RFRN episodes. Except for this one, because there's so much for us to talk about with the season change.
And yes, I don't know about you guys, but I am suffering from whiplash after viewing these two episodes. We ended Season 1 with Asha, which I think was probably one of the strongest episodes of Season 1. And then we begin this. When I watched Asha, I ran right into The Crystal Cloak, and I didn't know what the hell I was watching. It completely threw me. What was your guys' first impression when you started watching?
Well, the first thing that steps out is the theme song has changed. Gone is the Ewoks, and replacing it is something I don't even know what it is. It just kind of sounds like an amalgam of He-Man and Jem and just like whatever was popular back then. I have no idea why they changed the theme song, but that stuck out to me as much as the character changes as anything else. I miss that song. That was a good song.
Jerry, what did you think of the new Ewoks?
Yeah, I mean, Barrett, I don't have anything to add to that, but that's obviously the first thing you get. I mean, the Ewoks song it certainly stood. I'd say I enjoyed it, but it was very characteristic of the show. And then the second season opening song just seemed a little generic. But yeah, the animation's just a little, well, I'm not even sure how to describe it. I'm not kind of an expert in these type of things of how to use the right jargon here, but the animation to me just seemed far simpler, a little cheaper, choppier, I guess. Maybe they're not doing as many frames per second or whatever. The show just in general, it actually kind of like it was the first season and that the second season would get better, but instead it reverted. I don't know if it was just like, hey, maybe season one wasn't as successful, so they seriously cut production cost and we ended up with this. You know, even simple little choices of like why Wicket's hood is now green all of a sudden. I mean, I'm not sure, you know, what was the point of even trying to make that sort of difference, but and I'm into it. But yeah, these characters are just all kinds of stupid here in season two. And I'm not sure what to make of it.
Nathan, I'm almost afraid to ask.
Oh, boy. You know, it's funny. The first time I saw these, at least that I remember, was whenever I actually watched them to put them on my Star Wars Timeline Gold. So it wasn't all that long ago. And I'd always heard that there was a big difference. And I never really thought about the fact that what we got on the Haunted Village little feature film length mixing of four episodes together, and even then later with Tales from the Indoor Woods, it really hadn't struck me that those were all from season one. And I never really even thought about the concept of a season one, season two in most respects, because I just thought of it as it's all Ewoks, very much like Droids was all just Droids. I don't just think of the Great Heap as separate from that first season. It's just not the way I compartmentalize it. And I mean, I think you said it best, Jonathan. It's absolute whiplash when you go from Asha to this. I'm not even necessarily this particular episode, but just the way the show has changed. The opening song is different. They changed the fact that sometimes you're going to get those shorter stories as opposed to the longer stories every time. Pretty much every character is drawn at least a little bit differently, but you got some characters that are drawn so differently they could be completely different characters. Shodu is now much, much fatter than Shodu was. Baga, the little donkey-looking dude, is now brown for no reason instead of gray. Chief Chirpa is completely different and looks kind of like a cross between a hobo and a hippie that should be at Woodstock. the characters are changed drastically. You got characters totally ripped out. Bozzy, Aunt Bozzy, is gone. Wicket's father, Deej, totally gone. And they spent an entire episode in season one focusing on saving his life, only for him to disappear at this point. The personality changes are crazy. Wicket is a complete smart aleck now. He's an absolute little punk. And he's using Star Wars profanity, Kark, all over the place. He says Kark more than Troy Denning writes Criffing. And I didn't think that was possible.
Nathan, I can't agree with you more about the changes in some of the personalities. The big one that stuck out for me was Tebow. Exactly when did he have some sort of brain injury? Because he turned into just...
He's Willy.
No, he's worse. He's worse. He's just kind of was like, oh.
He's terrible.
I mean, and then the animation for this kind of, for him, just really kind of drummed it out. Did they really have his heart beating out of his chest?
Mm-hmm. He does the Looney Tunes style chest. And see, Tebow was bad enough. Tebow was from being a possibly competent future shaman as an apprentice to Logray, who is oblivious mostly to the crush that Latara has on him. They totally take that and reverse the dynamic. Now he's a bumbling little idiot. And Latara is, I guess the best way I could put it, is it rhymes with witch. For pretty much the entire second season, the way she treats the characters fits that description to a T. And now, instead of her having a crush on Tebow, Tebow has this huge super crush on her, but she's now the skank who takes it and uses it against him to get what she wants. I mean, the only character that still has their original personality, it seems like, is Nissa. Very much like an Anzadi trying to get to someone's soup. ABC, to try to make this appeal to a broader audience, ripped into this series and just stole its soul for season two. If it was not for the fact that we're going to see an episode that tries to at least marginally bridge this and Return of the Jedi, this would be a season that is absolutely without merit compared to the first. Measured by itself, maybe it wouldn't be so bad. But we're measuring against what we saw. They're trying to play this off as if these are the same series, and it's really not. It's like if you said that the newest Battlestar Galactica and the original 1970s Battlestar Galactica were the same thing. You wouldn't buy it because of the drastic stylistic differences. That's what you get here.
All the goodwill that I had towards some of these characters built up from season one was gone in about 30 seconds.
Wow. I cannot believe I'm hearing what I'm hearing. I see what you guys are considering the downfall of the season. I'm kind of considering it's a good thing. I mean, we're seeing a lot of character development. Last season, there was a few that stuck out, you know, but basically all the Ewoks were the same. They got told what to do, they disobeyed it, and then they came back and won the day, you know, but they were all kind of the same. They were all kind of nice and brave and not scared of anything, but they knew fear, but they were all the same. Now we have Willy. Or I'm sorry, Tebow. I don't know what that is about. I don't know why they chose that. But as far as Latara goes, that makes sense that she would kind of, as older as she gets older, she would become a little bit more egotistical because she always thought of herself as the best looking Ewok. So they're kind of growing up.
Wait a minute.
It's within a 6-month stretch at best of each other, though.
We don't know how old Ewoks are. We don't know how they mature. They could go from, look at Mulani. You know, she should still be in the crib, but all of a sudden she's got a hood. You know what I mean? So we don't know.
Hold on. I'm going to tell you right now that working in the mental health field, the only way that you get this type of such a dramatic personality shift is with severe trauma.
Low ratings. Well, look what they went through. Hey, their village is being threatened every week, twice a week.
They all fell out of the tree or something, man.
He may have a point, though, when it comes to the idea of maturity, because all of their voices changed. Every freaking voice actor changed for the series.
I like the fact that they have a lot of character development. I like the fact that they're a lot different. Chirpa, though, Chief Chirpa was the one that freaked me out because he looks nothing. I mean, they might have changed, like you said, Wicket's hood, or in case of Latara, they put lipstick on her and the feather in her hat is a different color. But Chirpa looks like a different Ewok. And I don't even remember seeing Logray. Was Logray even there?
I don't think we saw him in the first two episodes, did we?
You know, Baron, I wouldn't necessarily confuse changing the core personality of the individual characters as creating character development. They're very extreme now, but they all seem very one note. I mean, and you think about some of the sillier elements they're putting into the cartoon, like the heart that you see pumping out Tebow's chest. And even when this is the next episode, but, you know, we see something silly like, you know, Nisa's looking over at this plant that's getting ready to die, and it dies in a personified sort of way. It like has a face and arms and gasps. And I guess this is Saturday morning cartoonish. It's kind of dumb. In fact, that part's really dumb. So, I mean, it's definitely trying to do something else. And I don't think it's working as well, but I don't know. Let's see where they go.
I think I brought this up, so let me ask you guys real quick. If this had been the only season, do you think that we'd be reacting to it significantly differently in terms of how much we like or dislike it? Because we are measuring this based on season one at this point.
I would have had a really hard time with this. This is so disconnected. We said before how season one was kind of disconnected from Star Wars. This is on a completely different plane of existence.
Well, they had to make it more kid-friendly. And to your point, Jerry, when you have a flower dying like that, that's something that keeps the kids' attention. But what I'm interested to see is if they can take these changes that they're trying to make it more kid-friendly to keep the kids' attention while still continuing to keep the same storytelling that they had and continuing the character development and introducing new characters that we can get behind and stuff like that. Can they make this season and the first season, can they take what the best parts of the first season is and whatever this new thing is and make it an amalgam of a good storytelling? Can they do that? That's what I'm interested in seeing. And here in this first episode, I don't know. I think they pulled it off. I mean, there's things like that, but it's a still pretty solid episode if you consider the fact that Latara is a selfish person and she wants a diamond. That's basically what the episode is about.
Well, let's get into the first episode. Nathan, should I even ask where people can see this?
You know, I think I can just answer for the entirety of season two here, all in one shot. There are not any episodes of season two of Ewoks, possibly for good reason, that have been released on home video at all in the United States. So if you're trying to find this is a bootleg-only type of thing, unless they finally do what they said at the last celebration and put episodes up streaming on StarWars.com, which seems to be dwindling as a prospect the further we go along since Celebration.
I will give a brief summary then for all of you not lucky enough to watch this. Wicket is finally ready to begin his training to become a true Ewok warrior. He is presented with a belt of honor to which he will attach various trophies from his adventures. Chief Chirpa immediately attaches the silver feather he has already earned in Season 1 to his belt. Shortly thereafter, Latara's crystal is broken, and she decides, after speaking to Tebow, to go to the floating mountain to find the crystal cloak, which has the power to allow its wearer to change anything he or she touches into crystal. The cloak was stolen years ago from the Ewoks by Graka of the floating mountain. Latara convinces Wicket to fly with her to the floating mountain. They confront Graka only to have him create a forest of crystals that nearly defeat them, before they are saved by Tebow and Nisa, who followed. The foursome face off with Graka, but are forced to flee, with Tebow nearly falling to his doom in lava before Wicket is able to save him. Nisa then uses a lasso to snatch the crystal cloak from Graka's back, but it falls into the lava. When Graka continues to taunt them, Wicket leads him up into the Forest of Crystals, where he is trapped by collapsing crystals buried alive. Wicket has defeated the Graka and takes a small crystal as a trophy. As for Latara, she takes a huge crystal back with her, nearly crashing to the ground for her greedy nature. So that is Episode 1, The Crystal Cloak, which premiered on September 13th, 1986.
No! Okay, so right off the bat, this story is different. There is not an antagonist until it's created. In this episode, they create their own trouble. If it wasn't for the fact of Latara wanting that crystal, or she broke a crystal, or is that what happened?
She broke her crystal, so she went to Tebow to get him to use his magical powers to fix it, but then she berates him when he's not able to do that.
Yeah, what good are you?
He then shares with her that no shaman, no wizard can create a crystal since the crystal cloak was stolen. She then proceeds to manipulate Wicket into taking her there because he's such a great warrior, he could get the cloak for her, but neglects to tell him what he's going to have to do to get it. I mean, she is seriously the manipulator. This is not the Latara that we saw in the first season, as we've said, who I thought was just kind of a sweet, love-struck little Ewok, who in this time will put her friends in mortal danger to get what she wants.
Character development.
Character descent.
No, I think Barrett hit right on the head. This is just, you know, a girl becoming a teenager.
I think he's got a point there that this is something where the Ewoks go out looking for a fight in this case. I mean, even if we take Latara and remove her out of the equation, at least as far as the difference in her character goes, because, yeah, she is very Housewives of Atlanta or something at this point. Unless this is the woman scorned in between the two seasons, Tebow basically told her to take a hike, and in doing so, she became this enraged psycho beast. Within this very short period of time in which these stories can take place, there seems to be not a lot of reasoning behind the character change. I mean, Barrett, you've pointed out before, I think on a previous episode and when we've talked off air, that this is where Latara now has a cleavage slashed down the middle of her chest that you don't see otherwise. But even leaving her out, even leaving creepy, crazy, weird psycho Latara out of it, we have a very different group of Ewoks here in that they are willing, essentially, to go pick a fight. There's this beast out there who has the crystal cloak, so evil that he doesn't even have eyeballs. They're just weird holes in his head that are all black. And they're going after this guy basically just to beat him up and steal his clothes, more or less. They're jumping him for his Nikes at this point. Not something we would have seen before, when usually the Ewoks were the ones defending their village or doing something, going out and facing challenges to save someone's life. And now it's, oh, she broke her jewelry. We got to go find something new for her. And she's not even going to be happy with something the size of what she had. She wants to carry back a gem that's the size of a gemified Midas touch kind of freaking animal that almost causes her to crash on the way back to the village anyway. These are not the Ewoks that we know. They are, I hate to say it, but I think Jerry may have somewhat of a point. If the last season was them as children, these are them as adolescents, and it's the adolescent rebellion, which makes me wonder why they thought this would possibly be something that was better for kids to watch. How is this a more family-friendly general audience's show, unless we're really going to start to compare these Ewok characters to, like, well, Kirk Cameron's character in Growing Pains or something? It makes very little sense. I do not see why ABC did what they did here, but he's right. It is a very different motivation for the Ewoks this time around. Not sure if that makes it better, though. It's just another twist to them.
Hey, man, this is the 80s. You know, greed is good. Latara is just reflecting that. But they do try to connect season one to season two. Did you see they brought back the silver feather that Wicket earned in season one?
Yes, they brought back the silver feather that Wicket earned for not listening to the elders and doing what he was not supposed to do. Yes, they bring it back. All the best things from season one, they include it here.
They do show Wicket sort of daydreaming about being a great warrior, and it shows him protecting the Sunstar Shadowstone. So, I mean, that's another reference back to the previous season. And that's the weird thing. It's not like they're throwing everything out from last season. They're just throwing out most of what was good from last season, most of the cutesy stuff. And they're going for this weird, I almost want to say it's like they're trying to do, what if Looney Tunes took told serious stories because of the way that they're handling the characters, handling the way they're drawn. I'm wondering, you know, well, maybe there was some kind of other show that was more successful and they said, do it like that, do it like Shirt Tales, or do it like this other series. And that inspired not only the change with the personalities, but maybe the change to the look too. I don't know, I'm not as familiar with the little kid cutesy fare of the early 80s.
What I'm forced to wonder is if you were a child of, let's say, 8 or 9 or 10, and you would watch the first season of Ewoks and Droids, and you were really excited to come back in the fall of 1986 and see what's going on, and uh-oh, Droids has been canceled, and then you sit down and watch this? How many of them stuck around, do you think?
You know, Jonathan, that's a great question. I would have to think, I mean, if you're returning for season two, it was because you enjoyed season one, in which case this, you know, to the 7, 8, 6-year-old, whatever, even they would have to watch this show and think, wow, this is just different. And what happened to R2? So I would think this was kind of a punch in the face.
You know, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that over a year's time, children grow up. So the child that might have liked what they saw in season one might have grown and matured, just like Latara, and if you could call that maturing for Tebow, and Wicket. And they might like these kind of characters now, you know, maybe they figure that these pre-adolescents would grow into adolescents and would like these kind of snobby, I know everything, my parents don't know it, Jack kind of characters now.
I am putting a call out to all of our listeners. If you were a child at this period, if you remember watching Ewoks and Droids when they initially came out, tell us what the reaction was for season two. We've got to know, because I don't think that there's, I couldn't find any data on ratings of the show, how well it did. I find nothing online about this. If you know of someplace it's posted or remember this situation yourself, please go on the boards and enlighten us, because this is something I'm really trying to get my mind around.
I can tell you right now, they sucked. That's why it's not on the air. No, we were all kids around there, you know. So it would be interesting to hear what other people have to say about it. But so I have a question about this episode. The crystals, are they Jedi crystals? Are they lightsaber crystals? Is there anything that says so far out there that has established lightsaber crystals are on Endor?
I don't think these are lightsaber crystals, Baron. I don't.
That would be awesome if they were lightsaber crystal, and this dragon king with a cloak, you had to fight him.
Hey, how about this? Maybe the Empire went to Endor to get some of these crystals that were created to put into the new super laser.
The Death Star. Awesome.
Oh my God, God. Filoni and company, these are not ideas you should use for Star Wars Rebels. Don't help them come up with that kind of stuff. We'll get another sunny day in the void.
I don't think we have to worry about Filoni listening to this episode.
Well, you know, Rebels does take place not too far from the time period that this should be going on, right?
Now, we've established that they are not Jedi crystals in the first episode. So the next episode, the Wish Plant, can give us a rundown of what the Wish Plant's all about, Jonathan?
I will try. I will try. When the plants she is trying to grow all die, Princess Nissa is mocked by her friends. After they leave, she is visited by the Ewok deity known as the Leaf Queen, who gives her a plan to look after for 3 days. On the last of the 3 days, a joke played by her friends leads to Nissa and the plant, carried in a cart pulled by Baga, to splash into the mud. When she offhandedly wishes for something to clean things up, the plant provides a brush. The plant, they realize, is a wish plant. While Nissa tries to avoid using the plant's powers, since it slowly causes its leaves to wither, the others aren't so cautious. Latara steals it and uses it several times, followed by Wicket, then Tebow, who loses it to Latara, and so on and so on. When Nissa sees what's happened, she is shocked. When the Leaf Queen comes to retrieve her plant, Wicket lies and says the plant is sleeping, buying them time for Wicket to go into the forest to find another wish plant. The Leaf Queen lets them know that the last person who let a plant of hers die was turned into a pile of leaves, so Nissa is terrified. As Wicket searches for another wish plant, the first one he finds is too rooted into the ground, while a second is guarded by a dart fly, leading Wicket to return without a new plant. When the Leaf Queen finally returns, Nissa cries over the loss of the plant that she has cared for. When the Leaf Queen retrieves the plant, it has been magically healed by Nisa's love for it. In return for caring for the plant, Nisa is given 3 wish plant seeds, which her friends promptly begin to bicker over, apparently not learning their lesson. I had a few problems with this episode. Again, this seems so disconnected from season 1 for me, and so even farther from the Ewoks that I thought I knew. I didn't realize they prayed to leaf gods. Is this like a manifestation of the tree of light or their soul trees or something? What's going on here?
Yeah, Jonathan, this is really weird. This is like a genie in the lamp type of thing. And, you know, not only is that bizarre, but you never see this level of selfishness among all the different little Ewoks that try to get it for themselves. I mean, season 1, they would have all taken the plant in the middle of the village and, you know, prayed for planetary peace or something.
Yeah, very interesting with the stealing and the lying in this. And what is, you know, you could blame Nisa and Tebow and Wicket, but the Leaf Queen has no business giving Nisa a plant, knowing that Nisa kills the plants, so can't take care of the plants. The Leaf Queen has no business giving Nisa a plant. It's like the Leaf Queen knows that this is going to die. She wants to turn people into leaves. So, I mean, this is what my mind's going through to try to enjoy this episode, because this is way out. I mean, even I have to admit, this is way out from what we're used to, from the first episode of season 2.
Let's remember here, Ewoks are a species that essentially worships trees. They worship life. Keeping the trees alive are very, very important to them. They're very attuned to nature. What kind of pariah must Nisa be that she kills all the plants she interacts with?
What's funny is it doesn't even seem like it's necessarily something she does. It's just kind of the being around her and her being the one to take care of them causes them to eventually wither away and die. It's like they are basically the people walking across the void in Sunny Day to the Void. It's the plants being around her causes them to essentially commit plant suicide. Now, I will be a little bit nicer with the Leaf Queen herself. As ridiculous as a concept sounds, they have said since, from a continuity perspective, this is essentially just another of these Force-sensitive beings who wound up on the forest moon of Endor and winds up essentially taking the role of the Leaf Queen. Very Goa'uld in that sense, if you're a Stargate fan, sort of taking the deity's place or taking a place as part of a pantheon of gods that hadn't existed perhaps before. And we'll find that there are others. It's not just the Leaf Queen. There are 3 others of this same ilk, in a sense, here. So that I can sort of be okay with, because it's not the strangest thing we've seen in Ewoks. It's close! But it's probably not the strangest thing that we've seen. I still think the Tromes are creepier. But what gets me about it is, again, this is the kids being brats, pretty much. I mean, except for Nisa, everybody else is a spoiled little punk who just wants stuff for themselves. And Latara, of course, based on her characterization in the first episode of the season, she is the worst of the bunch. It's another of these very heavy-handed ways of trying to drive home a message about, you know, the power of love and the magic of love and how you must love things to help them grow, et cetera, and don't be selfish, et cetera, et cetera. But again, they don't learn their lesson by the end of the episode. Nisa perhaps does, but the others don't. This is not the kind of story that I would have expected Star Wars, or even the company that made Care Bears, not even taking Star Wars into account, would be aiming at little kids to tell. The best you could do is say, well, kids, do as we say as your parents, not as those cartoon characters do, because these morals they're trying to give you are done in such a way as to teach you bad habits.
Nathan, going back to what you said about the Leaf Queen and, you know, a Force user coming to the planet, how did the Empire even find room to build a base with all these random Force users and giants and aliens and tree goats and everything else living on Endor?
Well, that's what I've been saying. You know, that's one of the things that disconnects for me between this and the other stuff that we see and what we see with Return of the Jedi. I mean, at least when it comes to the Ewok telemovies, the slate winds up pretty much being cleared by the end of Battle for Endor, and the characters that were involved there are either dead or they're off on their own. They're somehow removed from the picture. But when it comes to the cartoon series and the Star comics that took place before it, those 14 issues and the UK annual in 88, when you combine that all together and you have a massive menagerie of alien species, groups coming to the planet to take the Jimwood trees or to cut down the trees for lumber, et cetera, et cetera. You got all kinds of, you know, there's these teeny tiny creatures with their own little societies like underground and whatnot. There's all these crazy things. But then when we see Return of the Jedi and any of the few times that we see Endor afterwards, such as in say, Diplomacy, for instance, in some of the early Marvel comics to be after Return of the Jedi, there's really no connection there because they don't reference or tend to use those characters. They do a great job of trying to explain where some of these came from. The idea of like this menagerie ship crashing down and so many of them escaping out and starting a culture later on and that sort of thing. They've tried very hard to give us a reason why they're there. They've not given us much in the way of reasons why we don't see them again or how on earth they were not there for the Battle of Endor. It's kind of one of those things where you just figured that they must have been off screen somewhere. Personally, I just like to think that maybe when the Death Star blew up and that whole Endor Holocaust that they say didn't happen might have taken place, maybe at least some parts of debris crashed into the Forest Moon of Endor and wiped out some of these guys. And that would explain why they aren't around later. Because otherwise, you're right, it'd be like trying to do The Walking Dead set in Atlanta after a zombie apocalypse and not have any zombies in Atlanta because, hey, nobody lived in Atlanta. It's that kind of a jarring disconnect between what we see in the two different sources.
We have to assume that the Empire was not ecologically aware when they built their base. Maybe they spilled some, you know, coolant or used inappropriate forestation methods and there was a mass extinction. I'm going with that.
I like the idea that the Empire knew about all of these different species there, and that's the reason they built the base there. It'd be crazy for anybody to want to live on Endor or even go there to infiltrate. You have so many natural traps and dangers that you could die from besides Imperial forces. So that's what I like to think.
Or just the fact that they're so human-centric. They wouldn't care about these cultures. Oh, we're going to wipe out the little teddy bear people and the crazy big creepy giant people where their women look way different than the men. And oh, we're going to kill these green Duloc gremlin looking guys. We don't care. We're the Empire. We're mostly human and we're going to do what we're going to do.
It's funny that you bring up the Dulocs. We don't see the Dulocs. Where are the Dulocs? We got the second episode in. No Dulocs, no Logray.
I think they're probably coming.
Yeah, I mean, I think this particular episode was so internally focused, the external or even the grown-up influences weren't needed. But yeah, anything to help make this show more familiar to season one at this point would be welcomed.
And what's funny is none of us are taking issue with the fact that this is a plant that grants wishes.
I was just going to bring that up.
Haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, the wish tree. What say you about that, Jerry?
Oh, I mean, what can be said? I mean, there's no excuse. I mean, that's just the dumbest plot device for anything with the Star Wars logo on it. I mean, it's like, it's breakfast. I'm hungry. Hey, magic plant, give me a donut. Hey, there's a donut. I mean, it's just, it's silly. It's really, really silly.
No, you guys are missing it. You're missing the point. This is the source of the Ewok nanotechnology.
It's lazy writing. Is what it is. It's easy to write in a wish tree for your plot devices because then you can just wish for anything and then that's where your story will take you. So it is. I'm not sure if Paul Dini is writing season two, but it's lazy writing to do that. The Ewoks, like you said, Jerry, are acting so selfish that there should be fuel to spark ideas in different plot points to go. You don't need to put in a wish tree. You know, it could have been any kind of tree that Nisa can kill, so they would have to fight the Leaf Queen. You know what I mean? They didn't have to put in a wish tree because what did they wish for that made any difference? You know, they were all selfish wishes, but did any of their wishes make any type of difference or any impact at all in their lives? Do you know what this does? It makes you really miss Morag, because with Morag, you knew what you got. She's trying to destroy the village. It's none of this, if you take care of this plant, then nothing will happen to you. I mean, it makes you miss Morag. It makes me miss Morag. I wish she would just show up as a Force ghost and teach this Leaf Queen how it's done.
Okay, I have another question. IQs really have just dropped on Endor, haven't they? Because she actually buys that the plant is sleeping.
Well, she sleeps and she's the Leaf Queen, I would assume.
Yeah, and she did seem like she was very unfamiliar with the concept and yet didn't question it at all.
Well, I think we've pretty much covered what we have to say about this. And the next three episodes are Home is Where the Shrieks Are, Princess Latara, and The Rache. Well, if we can survive it, we'll see you next time. Yup, yup.
Yup. Yup.
I don't even think they say that anymore in season two.
Now they say Kark now. They just do all kinds of Ewok cussing. I hate to say I told you so, gentlemen.
Dengar.
Thank you for listening to Republic Forces Radio Network. Remember, we want your thoughts on the next episode of the Clone Wars series. You can leave us a voicemail at 415-508-JEDI every week from the time the new episode airs, and voicemails received by 1 a.m. Sunday morning may be included in our next episode. You can find our reviews of previous Clone Wars episodes, as well as our summer series reviewing the classic droid cartoon series, at our website, www.republicforces.com. And be sure to listen to our other Star Wars podcast, Star Wars Action News, covering all aspects of Star Wars collecting, from figures to high-end collectibles to Star Wars Band-Aids. Republic Forces Radio Network is hosted by Jerry, Arnie, Dan, Jen, Jerry, Jonathan, Nathan, and Barrett. Republic Forces Radio Network, RepublicForces.com, and Star Wars Action News are not affiliated with Lucasfilm or any other official Star Wars-related company. Star Wars and all that the Star Wars universe contains are copyright and trademark, Lucasfilm Limited, and no infringement is intended. Republic Forces Radio Network is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2013, all rights reserved, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.
Even just some interesting choices of why, like, Wicket's head, what do they call those things?
Hood.
Thank you.
Character development.
Character descent.
No, I think Barrett hit right on the head. This is just a young lady growing up.
Oh, and the Dude, letters start
you
pouring
know I'm
in.
Not,
Please
you know
address
I'm
them to Jerry.
Here, let me try this one.
ABC raped my childhood.
That's what it would be if there was an internet back then. There would have been a South Park episode with ABC executives.
Don't go there, man. Don't go there. Don't go there.
All right.
Jonathan, what was the specific question again? I lost it in some of that.
You dozed off.
Especially if we learn that Ewoks live as long as they do. Oh, I just got it. Yoda is actually an Ewok that all his hair has fallen out. And he's a 900-year-old Ewok.
And he stayed away from everybody just like Asha, which is why he talks that way.
I will try. When the plants she is trying to grow all die, Princess Nissa is mocked by her friends. After they leave, she is visited by the Ewok. I'm sorry, I can't get through this.
You got a problem with the Leaf Queen, boy?
They didn't even
creepy
try.
Flower lady?
They didn't even try with her name.
Okay, hold
can't
on.
Can't even do it.
Oh, God.
He's dying.
I can't.
Breathe, Jonathan. Breathe.
God.
Oh, goodness.
All right. Oh, man.
We're the nerdiest nerds that have ever nerded.
After they leave. Okay, no, I know we gotta get through this. Oh. Okay.
Take a deep breath.
I'm trying.
Had slapped him.
Don't say anything.
Breathe through the nose.
You didn't say anything the first time.
No. I'm sorry, this is just so off the rails. After they leave, she is visited by the Ewok deity known as the Leaf Queen, who...
You might just have to record that in post.
I couldn't hold it. When you said the Leaf Queen, I couldn't hold it. I'm sorry. We went through this.
Oh, my God. All right.
Okay.
I got it. I can do this.
I really thought you were going to lose it as soon as you had to say that the plant fell asleep.
Dude, I don't know how I made it through that. Oh, crap. All right.
Now that needs to stay in the regular episode, not the outtakes. That needs to stay where it is just to emphasize how insane this
is. Oh, I don't know if I can do that.
Okay, I thought I was the only one who missed hearing. Yeah, Jerry, we can't hear you.
You cut off.
You said, it'd be like, I think you were saying, I'm hungry or something, but we couldn't hear anything after that.
Hey, hear me now?
There you are.
Yes.
You know, this episode's so bad, even my microphone wanted to cut out just to end the conversation. Cause it literally just powered down. It's like, no, Jerry, stop. Why waste another breath of your life in this episode?
You know, they were all selfish wishes, but did any of their wishes make any type of difference or any impact at all in their lives?
I would love to if Nisa just said, I wish I had my mommy back.
Oh,
man.
Wow.
Or Latara, you know, she wishes to hook up now with Tebow. I guess now it'd be the other way around, right? Tebow wishes to hook up with Latara, and then we could have a whole discussion about whether that counts as rape.
Or maybe they should wish where Logre is or where Willie is or
where did Bozzy go? Where did Deej go?
I think they all moved to another village because they're like, this place is going down. We're not staying.
I wish we had our original voices, plot line, and clothing. They dumped a bunch of NyQuil into the
plant. She was like the bookie, you know. She handed the plant the money over. Nisa says, I don't have it right now. Okay, you got to the end of the day. Give me my money or else, you know.
No, Nisa's holding her weed for her.
Right. Yes. So the leaf queen was Big Worm, and Nisa was Smokey. For you Friday fans out there.
Oh, good God.
Okay. So next ones we're gonna watch. Which from what episode?
This is where Arnie says you guys are being too negative, and then we have him actually watch it. He's like, never mind.